You'll please find your seats and turn with me in your Bibles. 1 Peter 5. This morning we land at verse 10. Almost home. Is it not true that life can wear us out? I mean, is it not true that just going through our daily grind, that it could chew us up, it could rip us open, it can really cause deep, deep scars that continually seem to bleed and to hurt? I mean, the reality is, as we looked at last week in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, the reality is we're in a spiritual battle. And Scripture tells us that we have an adversary. We have one who's against us, one whose goal is our destruction, one whose goal is to rip us open, one whose goal is to separate us from the God who is this indescribable, incredible, loving, faithful God. There is an adversary. He prowls around like a roaring lion. We looked at that last week. He has a special liking for Christians. He would love to devour us, love to tear our lives apart. And not just him, but just life and of ourselves. I mean, just because we are fallen creatures, meaning that we're sinful, meaning that we are naturally on our own, separated from God. Because of that reality, and because we live in a fallen world, a world that tornadoes happen and hurricanes and events that we just can't describe, that are very difficult for us sometimes to come in and say, really, is God faithful? But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the tearing, and in the midst of the brokenness, there's such incredible good news. And it's this, it's that our God is gracious. Our God is healing. How is it with this morning? As you look at the dashboard of your life, what warning signs are going off? What things do you see that is saying, show me some attention, give me some maintenance? My life is struggling here. What is it like for you this morning as you come into here on this beautiful morning? I have a friend, she'll go nameless, a family friend of ours, who was driving for a long time and one of the lights came on her car. By the way, what do we call those lights? Does anybody know like a slang word for them? Idiot lights. Okay, remember that. I love my friend. She has a light that comes on, check engine. It bugs her. I mean, she's just upset about it. I mean, it's just irritating. I mean, there it is, just glaring back at her. So she took a little tape, tape that was not something you can see through, but like more like duct tape, and stuck it right there because she didn't want to get irritated by that lousy light that kept on saying, check engine. Well, guess what happens? You know what happens. I mean, she breaks down. I mean, eventually, if you go through life, and no matter what warning signs are going off, if you ignore them, if you want to rip off a little bit of duct tape and say, this will mend it enough, and I'll just cover up any signs that are screaming at me that I'm in trouble, eventually we too are going to break down. But there's such incredible news this morning. And the news this morning is that our Father knows that we're in a battle, and He knows that life is difficult. And you ready for this? He Himself is going to be the one who mends us. He Himself is, He's not only going to call us to Himself and perfect us, but along the journey, along the way, it is our gracious God, through the work of His Son and the power of His Spirit, that He Himself is going to mend us and make us whole. Isn't that good news? And not only that, but there's incredible good news. He is the one that's going to guarantee. He's going to guarantee on His own name and His own life that we are going to make it home. I don't know about you, but when it comes to working with my car, first of all, for me, I can't do anything. My best mechanical skills are calling AAA or getting my car to a mechanic. But when I go to a mechanic, I'm a loyal person. When I go to a mechanic, I want the head mechanic. I want El Jefe, you know. I want the chief guy. I don't want the apprentice. I don't want the guy I don't know. I want to make sure that the guy that like owns the shop, I mean, the guy with the most dirt under his fingernails, the guy with the most experience is the guy who's touching my car and working on my car, because he is the master craftsman. At least that's my understanding. When it comes to our own lives, God is going to call each of us to a relationship with Him and to one another, that He wants us to tinker and to help and to bring restoration to each other's lives. But there's such really, really, really good news in this passage today. It is God Himself, the master mechanic, who is the one who mends us. It is God Himself, El Hefe, the God Almighty, who is the one who restores us and makes us new. Let's look together at God's holy and errant word as we continue to look at His word in 1 Peter 5, verse 10. Now this morning, I'm going to throw you a curveball. You're going to see this verse on the screen. And typically, I read you, I preach through the NASB, and this really... For those of you who don't care, just thank you for the real quick infomercial. I'm going to read the NIV, because I really think this morning the NIV is more closely aligned with the Greek. And it kind of puts the things, I think, in the right order. So what you'll see on here is not exactly right to what you're here. But first, Peter 5:10, and for all of you who have an NIV Bible, say it's about time you read the right one. Well, this morning, I'll read the right one. You ready? This is God's Word. And really, I think the Greek word there could be translated but, and I think it's a better translation to have the word but, because really what Peter is doing is he's juxtaposing, he's putting together a couple of thoughts. And the last thought he just gave us is that we are in a battle, that there is an adversary, Satan himself, that is after us, that wants to devour us, that wants to maim us and to really devour our lives. And then, but the reality is God's people suffer. And he comes to this point, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter says, but in the midst of the attacks of life, but in the midst of the pain, but in the midst of the sorrow that you bring even now, but the God of all grace. Just love that description of the reality of who our God is. He is the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ. After you have suffered a little while, and that's where we find ourselves right now as we find our way home, suffering for a little while. This God will Himself, and the Greek here is very emphatic, wants us to know for sure that it is God Himself in Christ. He will Himself restore you. He will make you strong, firm, and established. Let us pray together. Oh, Father God, how we need the reality of this text to be a part of our lives, to be a part of our church, to be a part of our culture, to be a part of our community. Father, I thank You that You are honest with us and You tell us that we are in a battle. And You tell us that we have one who would love to take us down. But God, we thank You that You are greater than the powers of this world. And we thank You, God, that You are all gracious. That You call us into a relationship with You by Your grace. That You have set us free by the work of Your Son. And You promise that the good work You've begun in us, You'll be faithful to complete. And we are going to make it home. So, Father, we ask that You would come and remind us of this reality and this truth. Because we really need to hear it. So, God, open up our ears to hear from You. And speak through a broken sinner. And Father, open up our minds to understand this one incredible verse in Your holy scriptures. Father, break our hearts, soften our hearts so that we can embrace this truth. And God, empower our feet so we can walk in light of the reality that we have a gracious God who calls us to Himself, who mends us, and who promises we'll make it home. God, that gives us power in our step, and we thank You for it. Father, the things that are said that are merely my opinion or that are wrong, may they quickly fall away and be forgotten. We pray that You and You alone receive glory, and we receive great encouragement and great challenge. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to begin by looking at the incredible reality that our gracious God, the God of all grace, has been described to us. The God of all grace is a God who calls to us. He calls to us and He calls us into a relationship with Him. When you think about this indescribable God, when you think about a God who's holy and without sin, when you think about a God who has created the heavens, who's separate from His creation because of His character, because of His qualities, we can be amazed that this God has every right not to call us into His presence, but to curse us away from His presence. This grace of God is so important. As a matter of fact, it's why Peter has written this book. He begins in chapter 1, and right off the bat, he tells us that we, by God's grace, are chosen. Those of us that are His, we have been chosen before time began. He tells us of this incredible grace of God that through the work of His Son, He has made us new creatures. He's caused us, in 1:3 it says this, He's caused us to be born again. And we see this incredible grace of God that would call to us, that would make us born again. But there's more than that. He says to us in the very end, in 1 Peter 5:12, He says, it's this grace of God that we need to stand upon, not upon our own merit. Not upon who we are as moral Christian people, that you and I, as sons and daughters of God, that we are called to stand on God's grace. And what does that mean? Well, God's grace is so incredible that He would send His Son to come and to rescue us. And the first thing we have to focus our attention is God's grace in our call. And the God of all grace who calls you into His eternal glory. It's an amazing thing that throughout time, throughout Scripture, that's what God does. He calls sinners. As God created us, He created us holy and without sin. He created us to have a relationship with Him. We have been given dignity because we're His and we reflect who He is. We have been given dominion. He wants us to rule and reign in His place. We are the A-plan. We are those that He sets unique love on as His very own people. But we rebelled against Him, even from the beginning. The first man that He created, and woman, Adam and Eve, they rebelled. They thought that their way was better than God's way. And instead of following and having the life that He had given them, they brought upon death because of the rebellion they have. But God comes to them, and this is the amazing thing we got to understand. And each one of us here who feels broken, each one of us here who feels still ensnared by sin, we got to realize this incredible reality that we have a God who comes to us and He calls sinners to Himself. I mean, the very first interaction God has with sinful man in a garden of paradise that He created, this paradise that man and God should be walking and talking together in perfect harmony, has been ruined by man's sin. And God had every right. God had every right to go into the paradise He's created and to go into that image bearer and to curse that image bearer and say, Adam, curse it or you. I mean, you blew it, Adam. You brought ruin on yourself and all of creation. You've destroyed paradise. You're cursed, Adam. You're cursed. He had every right to do it because He's holy. Because Adam deserved to be cursed. You and I, listen, you and I deserve to be cursed by God because He's holy. He's without sin. And yet He doesn't. You know what He does? He calls. Adam. He knew where Adam was. Adam. He calls in Genesis 3, Adam, where are you? Adam, what have you done? What about in the incredible reality, the incredible picture that we have a God who calls sinners? There's such good news this morning. You know, God cursed the ground and God wound up cursing the serpent, but He didn't curse Adam. He called. Are you here this morning with the baggage of sin? Just know that we have a gracious God who calls. And Peter knew this firsthand as well. Peter knew that God called sinners. And here's how the story tells us in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 5, Luke tells us how the disciples were called. And specifically tells us how Peter is called. And Peter, it's an amazing thing what Jesus does. He comes to where Peter makes his living. He's a fisherman. And it's there on the shores of Galilee where Jesus is going to call Peter to leave everything that he knows and to follow Him. And the way that Peter is going to be called is through an incredible catch of fish that Peter never has experienced before. An incredible catch of fish where Peter, who was not caught anything all night, and because of the words of Jesus, says, well, why don't you try throwing your net on the other side? He's hauling in the most incredible catch of his lifetime. And Peter realizes that he's not just in the presence of a man. He's in the presence of God. That this is God Almighty in flesh. And Peter realizes that he's got a problem. He's a sinner. And he realizes that this God must be holy, without sin. And that he has no right being in the presence of this God. And so he cries out, depart from me, because I am a sinful man. You see, Peter knew the reality that he was a sinner, but he also experienced the incredible grace that God calls sinners like Peter. And he says, no, Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to give you new life. I'm going to wash away your sins, and you are going to be mine. And now you're not going to fish for mullet and fish for other things. You're going to fish for men. You are going to be mine. Peter knew firsthand the grace of God and the calling. And here's the amazing formula. You ready for this? Here's the formula of God's gracious call. Know you're a sinner and embrace the reality that there's a gracious God who calls. And as we see throughout Scripture, He calls not because of anything in of ourselves, not because of who we are, not because of our goodness, because Scripture makes it very clear that apart from God's grace, in and of ourselves, we by nature are children of wrath. We by nature are dead in our transgressions and sins. We by nature have no ability to even clean ourselves up to make ourselves presentable to God. We by nature, because of our depravity, because of our fall, can't even reach to God if He offers. I mean, God is the one who not only has to call, God's the one who's got to open up our ears. He's got to empower. God's the one who's got to give us even the gift of faith to embrace. What an incredible, gracious God who calls sinners. Peter knew that reality, and that reality changed his life. But really, the question for each of us this morning is this. Do you know that incredible reality? Do you know that incredible reality that we have a God who calls to sinners? And the formula you would never think. You think God calls righteous people. God calls religious people. God calls people who have it all together. Jesus said, no, no, I came to seek and to save the lost. I mean, I came to seek the broken. I came to see that which is being destroyed and ravaged by sin. That is what I came to seek and save. And here's the formula. It's unbelievably gracious. No, like Peter, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve it. You should depart from me, but receive by God's grace the reality He calls us into a relationship with Him, that He makes us new. He has made all things new. Do you know that reality? Now, here's one of two things. If you know that reality, you must sing. If you know that reality, you realize it's amazing grace. If you know the reality that like Peter, who was a mess up, like Peter, who often did the wrong thing, like Peter, we don't deserve it, but we get unmerited grace and favor. God calls on our life. Amazing grace. Listen, and let's don't try to soften the blow here by saying, let's don't play games with theology. Let's don't say that, you know, well, we were pretty good and that God knew that we would get it, or that there was something inside of us that caused Him to give it. All that, you know what all that does? It all robs God of His glory. It all robs God of the amazing grace that He is. But when we realize, like Peter, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve any of it. And we receive it in full. Oh, how gracious it is that God calls to sinners like us. And that is why we sing, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What an incredible, gracious God who calls sinners. But for you this morning, if you cannot sing this song, the reality is this. Maybe you think that God's not calling sinners anymore. Maybe you think you got to clean yourself up. Maybe you think that you got to do something for God to accept you. That's not what Scripture says. Here's the reality for those of you who have yet to experience the amazing grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As He calls to you even today, as you hear the good news of the gospel, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you say, I acknowledge, like Peter, I'm a sinner. And I'm going to embrace the reality of Christ who loves me. But there's even more than this. I mean, there's God's grace in our call. And really, in this gracious call, it's what what Paul would talk about and call the word justification. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, probably one of the richest chapters in all of Scripture. Incredible chapter. I'm sure you know many of the verses that are listed here. Romans 8:8, you know, all things work together for the good for those who love God and called according to His purpose. But listen to Romans 8, verse 29. And it's a golden chain. It's a golden chain of God's grace. And this is really where I want us to focus on today. It's this golden chain of God's grace. And here it is. You ready? God graciously calls to sinners like us. Graciously, not because of anything in and of us, unmerited, He calls to us. And to those that He has elected for eternal life, He will continually call. They will be set free of their sins, called justification. And there's this golden chain of God's grace. It will never be broken. We can't miss this. Listen, to everyone whom God the Father calls to Himself, every single one He is going to cleanse with His Son's blood. He's going to clothe with His Son's righteousness. He's not only going to wash them, He's going to make them beautiful. And He's going to set on them an eternal love. But He's never going to give up on those that He has called. He's never going to give up on those that He has justified. Every single one of His sheep, none excluded, no matter what life brings you, no matter even your sin and your depravity that still is resident in your life, nothing will separate us from the love of God, and nothing will break this incredible chain of God's grace. We've got to get this reality. This incredible chain of God's grace is those that He calls us. Not only does He call us, but He keeps us. Not only does He keep us, He promises that He's going to bring us home. Guaranteed. Romans 8:29 says it this way, "For those whom He foreknew, before time began, He would call to Himself." Scripture will call them the elect. "He also predestined those to become conformed to the image of His Son. Before time began, for some mystery that only God knows, He decided to take some, all deserving God's wrath, and set them aside and says, 'These I'm going to set an eternal love on that is unique. And I'm going to make them look like Jesus, my Son, to be conformed to Him, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren.'" And verse 30, "And these whom He predestined before time began, He set apart." Those who He predestined, those are the ones that He called. Those are the ones that Jesus would say, "I've come to seek and to save the lost, and my sheep know my voice, and they will follow me." It's those that the Father and the Son before time began had set aside. Those that Paul would say have been predestined, and those who have been called. To those who have been called, He also justified. This is a legal term. This is those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. These are those who can stand before a holy God. You ready for this? Who can stand before the holy God, having all their sins washed away, robed in His righteousness, and according to God's law, can be declared not guilty. They're justified. How in the world can that happen? Because if you and I live one day, we should know that we should be able to cry out, "Get away from me, I'm a sinner." How can sinners like us stand before a holy God who sees everything and be declared not guilty? Now, the incredible mystery of all mysteries is that God took Him who knew no sin, Jesus, to become sin. And He took from Jesus the righteousness that He had earned from being the Son of God and earned through His righteous behavior, and He gave it to us. And now we can stand before a holy God justified, declared not guilty. You ready for this? God can look on us right now as if we had never even sinned if we are in Christ. Now listen, the reality is we have sinned. In reality, we are still a mess and a work in process. But God can see us in Christ. And that's why it's so important. It says to this, the God who called us to His eternal glory, in Christ we have been justified. What incredible news. Make a tab there. We're going to come back to that. God has called us for the journey. But listen, really what this verse emphasizes is God's grace in the journey. In the journey. He says you're going to suffer for a little while. And it's going to be bad. I mean, there's going to be an enemy who wants to destroy you, and life is just difficult, and you are going to suffer, and it's amazing in God's plan. I mean, how can it be? But it is. How can He say, "Well, I'm going to start you with perfection. I'm going to call you to myself. I'm going to give you a new life in Christ. I'm going to remove all your sins. I'm going to clothe you in righteousness. You're going to be pure and undefiled in a holy God's eyes. And one day you really will be perfect. You will receive glorification. But by the way, along the way, you're going to suffer. And along the way, you're going to hurt. And along the way, you're going to have trials. And along the way, you're going to be persecuted. And along the way, there's going to be days you think, can I ever make it home? Let me see, there's God's grace in the journey. God, listen, here's the incredible reality, that God is the one who's going to mend us all along the way. Yes, we have suffered from a little while. Yes, we are under satanic attack. But Jesus will continue to perfect us. Let's look at some of those words in verse 10. In verse 10, the God of all grace calls us to this eternal glory after a little while you've suffered. He himself will restore you. The word here, restore, is to make new. Be restoring a new car, make new again, to bring back to the original. Really, it's kind of a picture of alignment. This is what a chiropractor does. If you go to a chiropractor and the weight of life has gotten your back out of alignment and you need to be restored, this is really what happens to a joint that's out of whack, that needs to be reset. This is an incredible, beautiful reality. We can't miss this. Is that Jesus has made us new in the gospel, in our justification. But Jesus is the one who continues to make us new day to day. Day to day, he says, you need an alignment. Day to day, come to me and I'm going to adjust you. I'm going to align you. I'm going to set your joints that are out of whack. I'm going to make sure that you're straight and you're beautiful and that you are made new. That is the incredible picture that God has given to us. He is the chief mechanic. He says, I'm going to make you perfect again. I'm going to continually realign you. Because life's got a way of knocking you all out of joint. Life's got a way of being an incredible burden and that he just overwhelms you. Come to me. Let me ask you this question. Do you go to him? Are there lights on your dashboard of life that are saying, you know, go to the mechanic? Go to Jesus? Are you going to him? I mean, he's created us for Sabbath. And here's what that means. I mean, God created all things in 6 days and then he rested. He wasn't tired. He just gave us a model to follow. The reality that's finished, it's complete. But he's created us to have a rhythm of life where we will work and we will withdraw. And we'll continually have a Sabbath where we come to him broken. And we come to him in need and say, realign me. Realign me. Come afresh. Let me encourage each one of us. Is there a Sabbath in your life? Are the lights coming on saying, go to him? Not only that, it says this, not only will he restore you, and it's a beautiful picture of making all things new, he will make you strong. It's the word we get for steroids. And it's the strength of steroids with none of the bad stuff. He will make you strong. I mean, don't we need strength in life? And it's the power of the Holy Spirit, this power of the resurrected Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weak, all you who are weary, all you who are broken, and I'm going to make you new again. And not only that, as you can picture this incredible, beautiful picture that he has, picture us coming to him all out of a line. He says, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make everything align back up again. And not only that, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to strengthen you. The next word is kind of a synonym. It's, you know, I'm going to cause you to stand. I'm going to make sure you stand firm. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to make you stand firm. And the last word there is like establish. And really what it is I'm going to set you on a foundation that can't be shaken. I'm going to align you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to give you a firmness to you. And then I'm going to set you on a foundation that can't be shaken. You know what that foundation is? It's Jesus himself. It's the rock of ages. And here we have this beautiful picture of the Father who says, come to me, all you who are weary and broken. And God's grace in the journey. And I know the journey's hard for many of you even right now. I know it is. And I know you're struggling, and listen to your Father say, come, come afresh, let me realign you. Get away, have Sabbath with me. Let me strengthen you. Let me make you firm, and let me set you afresh upon the foundation of Christ, the solid rock. We see that as God's grace in our sanctification. The one that has set us free, and yet he is still making us beautiful along the way. It's why Hebrews 10:14 is one of my favorite verses. Hebrews 10:14 says this. It's talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And he says, through this one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and this is his justification part we talked about, through this one sacrifice, he has made forever perfect those he's making holy. Isn't that an incredible juxtaposition? How can we be forever perfect and yet being made holy? That's who we are in Christ. You see, that one time set free of our sins, that's justification, but we are still under the sanctification. We're still battling. We're still sinning. We're still messing up. We still need to come in and get a pit stop and get realigned. And that's that sanctification process. But listen, there's God's grace in the journey. The one who set us free and gave us new life is the one who's going to make sure along the way he is under the hood. He's checking the oil. It is God himself who's the one who's going to strengthen us for all of our battles. It is God himself who's going to make sure we're going to make it home. One of my favorite movies is Remember the Titans. Great true story, and if you know it, it has all the themes that I love. It's a true story. It's a football story. It's got great human dynamics in it. And if you know the story, I won't give you all the details, but it's a team that had to come together under segregation, and used to be an all-white school. Now it's both white and black, and there's a white and black coach, and they're wrestling through all those issues, and they've overcome so much, and they get to a state final game, and at halftime they're losing, and they're not. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to pull this one out. Maybe finally they found a team that was more talented than they are, and they aren't going to win. And unlike the coach, he's never done this before. He came to the locker room, and he basically starts saying this to him: "Hey, I'm really proud of you. No matter what happens on the scoreboard, you're winners." And he basically was saying, "We're going to lose." I mean, not in so many words, but he's basically saying, "We're going to lose. I don't think we're going to pull this one out." And he's now starting to say, "It's okay, but I still love you. You did a great job." And Julius, one of the star characters on the defense, says, "No, you know, I know that no one's perfect. And I'm certainly not perfect. But together we're perfect. We haven't lost yet as a team. And I want to end that same way. Together we are perfect." You see, that's a picture of who we are in Christ. On our own we lose. On our own we're torn. On our own we stray. But together in Christ, the one who has cleansed us is the one who's restoring us. And here's a beautiful reality for each one of us today. In His eyes, together we are perfect. Isn't that beautiful? That's grace along the journey to making sure that we're going to make it home together. But there's grace in this eternal glory that He will make sure that we do make it home. You know, as a dad, as a parent, one of the greatest desires we have is that our kids will make it. And they'll make it safely through life. I mean, we'd give about anything to make sure that our kids would make it. Just over a week ago, a family, the Singletons, went on a boat ride in Lake County. And it was Eric and Michelle Singleton. They went with their three children, Eric Jr., 9, Caitlin, 2, Ashley, 3 months. And because of a bilge pump that wasn't connected and to a corroded wire that wouldn't allow the engine to go in the proper spot, the boat was swamped and the boat sank. And in the cold waters, slipped into the water, all 5 of them. And the father grabbed the 3-month-old Ashley, and what they're saying is an incredible, heroic feat. Swam for hours, walked for hours, eventually went and got help. When he made it, and he was able to have the strength and the courage to save his daughter, Ashley. When the help arrived, they found his wife still floating near the wreckage. They couldn't find the other two. And sadly, later in the week, the two bodies were spotted. Eric Jr., 9, and Caitlin, 2, perished. And they said the mother just lost the grip. I mean, it's treading water. It's cold. I don't know how the Singletons are living right now. I don't. And that story just buckles my knees. And I know that that dad is heroic. I mean, he did everything he could, but he couldn't do enough. He just wasn't strong enough. I mean, he just wasn't powerful enough. I mean, he just couldn't ensure that all of the kids would make it home. But there's a beautiful reality in Christianity that that's not our story. That in reality for the Christian, none can be lost. All that the Father calls, all that the Father justifies, He will make sure that they make it home. Back to Romans 8. To those He justified, to those He called, He also justified. And to those He justified, He also will glorify. No matter where you are, if you feel like you can't make it home, you're going to. Your Father is going to rescue you and continue to rescue you, and Jesus is going to continue to realign you. And He's going to continue to strengthen you and put you back into place. And no matter where you find yourself, He's there. And listen, He never loses one. He never loses one. All of His sheep are going to make it home. And that is why that we can sing together, broken, bruised, ripped open because of life, "It is well with my soul." Because God of all grace has called us to Himself. The God of all grace is the one who strengthens us and realigns us and makes us perfect again. And the God of all grace is going to make sure we make it home. Let's pray together. Father God, only You, Father, only You, only a God who is benevolent and good, only a God who is all-powerful, only a God who would love sinners enough to send His own Son to rescue them, only a God who would love us enough to empower us with the Holy Spirit, can truly say that I'm going to get you home. That there's one day that perfection will come and every tear will be gone and we will be made completely new. And Father, no matter where we find ourselves, we can sing, "It is well with my soul." We thank You for that reality because we know who You are and what You have done. Father, through the work of Your Son, make us new again today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand and sing together.